Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4 says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. I want to read that all one more time. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence, your spirit, and your anointing in this place today. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who is not far off. You are a God who is a simple prayer away. Lord, your word has promised that when we call out to you, when we call upon your name, you will answer us, you will show us great and mighty things. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who answers us when we reach out, when we call out, when we cry out to you. And I thank you for doing that in this moment of worship this morning and in this moment as we look at your word together today. Lord, I pray, Father, as we take a few moments to dive into your word and hear what your spirit is saying right now in this moment in time for this house and for these hearers of this message. Lord, I pray that we will go beyond just hearing some points of thought, that we would go beyond just having some good ideas presented. Lord, I pray that in this moment we will have a radical encounter with the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that your word would do everything that you have called it to do in our lives this morning. Lord, I pray that your word would burn like a fire in our souls as it ignites in our ears, in the ears of our spirit today, I pray. In Jesus' name. I want everybody, if you can, if you're at home too, join us in doing this. Put your hand on your belly somewhere. We do that because we want to go beyond the flesh. We want to go beyond your ears. Your spirit is somewhere on the inside of you, your soul. And that's where the word of God wants to be deposited, wants to talk to today. It's what Jesus wants to deal with. So that's why we put our hand on our belly. And I want you to repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear. So I can do what you want me to do. And be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Pastor Eric and I didn't coordinate our shirts today, but we're flowing in the spirit, I guess. I don't know. I walked, I said, okay, cool. It's Red Life Shirt Day. This is a little bit different message. Let me just give you a little background where we're coming from. This is kind of picking up of something I presented a few weeks ago during our Sabotage series. If you remember 3 or 4 weeks ago, we talked about shaking the dust off of our lives. Amen, somebody? How many remember? We had a wild time up in here a few weeks ago because we shook loose of some of the stuff that's been attached to our lives. Amen? Amen. If you still need, listen, here's the thing about when you shake the dust. Once in a while, it resettles and you just got to shake it again. And you got to keep shaking it and keep shaking it until you move out of that atmosphere and that thing is gone in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? So don't be afraid, don't ashamed, don't be condemned or feel bad if a few weeks later or a few days later, maybe in the very next day, the thing that you stood in here on Sunday morning shaking off your life all of a sudden reappeared 12 hours later and tried to get up in your stuff again. Guess what? That's how the enemy works. And what do? We're just going to keep on shaking it off and shaking it off and shaking it off until that thing is broken in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? And I'm going to kind of pick up with this, and this is a little bit different message, and I share it, say it's a little bit different because of this. Most of my time preaching, my intent is not to sit up here and tell you, well, God told me this and God told me that, and I don't think that you probably hear me say that very often. What my job is to do as a preacher of the gospel and a teacher of God's word is to tell you what God's word is saying so that you can hear God's voice for yourself. Amen, somebody. That is my number one goal. In fact, the number one goal of all preaching, of all ministry, listen, it is not to make you a disciple of Justin Bradley for sure. And in fact, if you have any intent of that, please, you're going down the wrong path. I can tell you that right now. You are missing the boat. Please don't be a disciple of Red Life Church. Don't be a disciple of Justin Bradley. Be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so to do that, you have got to learn to hear his voice, and we hear his voice through his word. So my number one goal in all of preaching and teaching is not to tell you what God is saying to me in my quiet time and in my prayer time, but it's to tell you what God's word is saying so, again, you can hear God's voice for yourself. But today, once in a while, as a leader and as a pastor and as a shepherd, it does fall upon me to share what I feel like, and I say this with no small measure, and I don't say this lightly, it is sometimes my job, and it falls to me once in a while, to share what would be considered more of a prophetic word and share with you what I do sense that God is saying, not just to me for Justin Bradley's life, but what God is saying for us as his body, as this group of people that God has called together, this army that God is raising up. Amen, somebody. This. All right, y'all gonna make me preach a whole different sermon here in about 3 seconds. I said this army that God is raising up here in Brookfield, Franklin County, southeastern Indiana, and beyond to go forth and spread the gospel, expand the kingdom, and do what Jesus called us to do. Amen, somebody. Amen. That's what we are. We are not. We better not ever have a mindset that we are just a group of country club believers that come together in our little Christian club here and get encouraged and sing some songs and feel good about our spirituality and then go out and don't do anything with it. Come on, somebody. So we are an army that God is raising up, and once in a while it does fall upon me to say, hey, this is the next move. This is what God is saying. This is going to be one of those types of messages. And I'm sharing that, and I'm setting all that to say this. A few weeks ago, it was on July the 7th at our first Wednesday prayer meeting. I was praying right over there on like the second or third row in that section of chairs. We had worship music, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me very, very clearly. And the message was this. What I felt God say to me was this. And I didn't hear an audible voice. God rarely speaks like that. It was an inward voice, and I just want to be completely honest. I'm not trying to say like, hey, I'm not saying I had a vision. I'm just saying what I felt the Holy Spirit saying in this moment was this. Two things: that we needed to shake the dust, and we needed to shake the dust because of this scripture right here, Isaiah 61:4, because it is time for us to rebuild, to repair, and to revive. And I'm going to dig into all that in just a few moments. So here we go. Let's get into it. Isaiah chapter 61 is a really important chapter in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 61 is Isaiah the prophet having a prophetic vision and speaking prophetically about the Spirit of the Lord and the Anointed One who would come on into the earth, and that person becomes Jesus. Amen? Follow me? In fact, it's Isaiah 61 in Luke chapter 4 after Jesus is in the desert and he's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And there's the great standoff between Jesus and Satan. The Bible says Satan comes to Jesus and tempts him 3 times. How many have heard the story before? Satan tempts Jesus 3 times, and 3 times Jesus answers Satan's temptation with, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And Jesus has the victory. He comes out of that 40-day fast. In Luke chapter 4, he goes into the synagogue, into the temple, and he happens to be there on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath, and they're worshiping. And the Bible says that in that moment, Jesus stands up, reads from the scroll of Isaiah, and it is Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 that Jesus uses to announce, hey, I'm here. It's time to get busy doing what God put me on this earth to do. Isaiah 61 is like the coming out party for Jesus. It is him declaring, hey, the Messiah is here. I'm here to do God's work. I'm here to do what the Father has called me to do. And Isaiah 61 1 and 2 is a very famous passage of scripture. Songs have been written about it. Many of you have probably heard it, quoted it, prayed it before. Some of you may not. It may be brand new to you, but it basically says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bound, to give sight to the blind, to release the captives. And so basically it goes through a bunch of things about what the Spirit of the Lord is on Jesus to do. And when Jesus reads that in Luke 4, the Bible says he then rolls it up and says, today. Everybody say today. Today. Jesus in Luke 4 says, today this scripture is now fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus was saying, I'm here. Let's go. Let's get after it. Okay? Now, this scripture, this vision, this word that Isaiah preaches hundreds of years ago is basically a description. It starts out with the description of what the Spirit of the Lord does, what happens when the Spirit of the Lord is on someone, and he's saying, this is what the Spirit, and he's saying when someone shows up decades later, at some later time than when I'm saying these words, when someone shows up and people, and the blind start to see, prisoners are beginning to be set free, the brokenhearted are healed and restored. He goes, that is going to tell you that the Spirit of the Lord is on that person. He's saying, this is what happens when the Spirit of the Lord is on someone, and that first person is going to be Jesus. Amen? Now, I hate to tell you this, I love to tell you this, but you may not want to hear this. You may hate to hear this, but here's the reality. The Spirit of the Lord now is on us. Amen? And so everything, you say, well, how can you say that? Because the Bible says in the New Testament in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, that you and I are anointed, that we have an anointing from the Holy One, and that anointing is real and not counterfeit. That's what the Word of God tells us. Amen? And that anointing is the same anointing that was on Jesus' life, is available and lives and rests and dwells on the inside of you and me. Amen? See, when we pray a prayer, and we say, well, I've invited Jesus into my heart. What you're doing is inviting the Spirit of the Lord to come and take up residence in you. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? Amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, these things happen, as described in Isaiah 61, and as Luke and as Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4. Okay? You follow me so far? Stay with me. Now, what does it mean, the Spirit of the Lord is on someone? Where the Spirit of the Lord is on someone, that's just fancy church talk for someone that's anointed. Well, it's anointed, that's really just fancy church talk for someone that's been empowered. Empowered, let's just bring all the way down to the grassroots. Empowered is just fancy talk to tell you can do it. Amen? We throw around these words. I want to make sure that we are all on the same page, all right? The Spirit of the Lord being upon me, like Isaiah says, that's just talk. That just means I've been anointed. Anointed just means I'm empowered. Empowered just means I can do it. So what he's saying is, through the Spirit of God, because of the presence of God, because of the power of God, living and dwelling and moving and being on the lives of the believers, this is what we can do. So Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 describes what the Spirit of the Lord does through someone's life. And then it begins to shift and it begins to say, and the rest of this chapter, Isaiah 61, describes what it's like for someone who had, what a group of people with the Spirit of the Lord will do, what their life is going to look like. Okay? And this is basically where it picks up in Isaiah 61, 4. And it says, they, everybody say they. Now, who is they? They are those upon whom the Spirit of the Lord rests. Too fancy. They are those who have been anointed. Too fancy. They are those who have been empowered by God. Too fancy. They are those who God has said you can do it. That's who they are. Okay? They, what you're going to see in just a few moments, is we. Turn to your neighbor and say, they is we. I know all you English nerds are cringing at the thought of saying that. Go ahead and say it anyway. Defeat your flesh. Shame the devil. Say it anyway. Say it again. Say, they is we. They is we. Now, I'm confused about how I should say that. Anyway. What are they? Here's the deal. Here's the first thing you need to understand. Listen to me close. The Spirit of the Lord is upon they, us, you, me. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, not just to give us goosebumps, not just to make us feel good about ourselves, not just to encourage us once in a while when we're down, although it can do all those things. The Spirit of the Lord is on us, and what those who have the Spirit of the Lord, the Bible declares here, will do, we will repair, we will rebuild, we will revive. Let me say it this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to rebuild what the enemy has torn down. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the power of God himself. Romans chapter 8 says the saint calls it the same Spirit. Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead says now dwells on the inside of you and me. And that Spirit, the reason that Spirit is dwelling on us is for this purpose right here, to rebuild, to repair, and to revive. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to rebuild everything that the enemy has torn down. Amen. Now, I don't want to go into a big thing here, but it doesn't take a lot of, you don't have to be a political science major to take a look outside and recognize that over the last couple of years, it is very evident and very clear that the enemy has been at work trying to tear down all kinds of things in our lives. Amen, somebody? Some of you over the last couple of years, especially, we have lived through and seen and witnessed and gone through seasons where it may feel like things are just being torn apart, families are being destroyed, things are being shredded, foundations that we once held dear and thought were unshakable have been shaken. The enemy has been at work trying to tear down everything that once stood. And let's be honest, there may be some things that need to be torn down. There's some other things that God never wanted torn down. Here's the deal. God has called us and anointed us in this day and in this hour to stand up and say, you know what? I am going to rebuild what the enemy has torn down in my life. Amen. And this is what he says, there's three parts here. He says, to rebuild the ancient ruins, to repair cities that have been destroyed, and to revive them that have been deserted for generations. There's three parts there. First of all, let's look at every one of those real quickly here. It says, rebuild ancient ruins. Rebuild ancient ruins. To rebuild means I've got to start over. Means, man, the thing has been completely torn down. The thing is, there's nothing left, and maybe not even a foundation at all. And I've got to dig deep, and I've got to rebuild from scratch. Guess what? That's what the Spirit of the Lord is upon some of us to do. Some of you, your faith has been completely shaken and torn down. And I'm telling you what the Spirit of God is saying is this, is that the Spirit of God wants to come upon you and help you to rebuild a faith that maybe has been shaken and broken down over this past season. Amen, somebody? There may be some things in your family, some relationships that seem like they've been completely destroyed, and God wants the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you and I. He's anointed us to rebuild things that have been broken down. Amen? Things that have been destroyed mean somewhere I might have to start over and rebuild. And then he says you can also repair cities that have been destroyed. Well, to repair something means it's not completely destroyed, but it's broken and it needs fixed. Listen, I can't stress this enough. God's people, sons and daughters of God, the church of Jesus Christ, listen, we have the answer to fix what's broken in our lives and our world. Amen, somebody? His name is Jesus. And because Jesus is on the inside of us, I believe this with all my heart. Listen, God's people, we ought to be fixers. Amen? We ought to be people that show up on a scene. We ought to be people that show up on a job. We ought to be people that show up in a relationship. And instead of tearing them down and breaking what's already broken, we ought to be people that can bring things together and fix things, because not because we're so great and not because we have all the answers, but because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to do it. Amen, somebody? Some things we need to rebuild. Some things may need to be fixed and repaired. And this is the part I really like here. Listen, this is what I think this encompasses what this is really all about. It says, they will revive them. Everybody say revive. Revive simply means to bring new life or to bring to life again. So what the Word of God says is that those who are anointed, look at the language here, they will. That's a definite statement. Saying this is what people who are anointed to have the Spirit of the Lord will do. Amen, somebody? You follow me so far? They will do this. They will rebuild, repairing cities. They will revive. Let's make this as simple as possible. What he's saying is those who have the Spirit of the Lord are life givers everywhere that they go. I don't know about you. And I probably failed this probably more than I succeed, if I'm honest. But man, at the core of my heart, I want to be a life giver. Amen? I want to be a life giver wherever I go. I want to be the type of guy. Not that it's the life of the party. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, I want to bring life to whatever situation I'm in. Amen. I want to be able to walk into a room, and not because Justin Bradley is anything, but simply because the grace, the goodness of God, and I know who I am in Christ. Man, we ought to be able to walk into a room where there's death, where there's destruction, where there's depression. And man, just honestly, just because I showed up, God showed up with me, life ought to come with me. Amen, amen, somebody? That's the type of people that God has called us to be. Now, I've been in church my whole life, and I've been around a lot of Christians my whole life. And I don't know if that's the reputation that the church at large often has as being a place that gives life. Amen? Amen? But let me just declare something to you today. In the name of Jesus, we're going to be what God's called us to be. In the name of Jesus, we're going to undo any bad reputation that may be unfair or may be fairly earned. I'm not going to argue that point with you. But what I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, from this day forward, we are going to do everything we can do. I'm going to do everything I can do. I'm going to be a life giver in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God is upon me. The Holy Spirit is in me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And in Jesus' name, I am determined. I am going to bring life everywhere that I go. Amen, somebody? I want to be a life giver. This is what they who have the Spirit of God will do. And I'm telling you, as surely as I'm standing here, man, is almost as clear as I can remember God saying anything to me in the last, in any time, was two things. Shake the dust, and you got to shake the dust because it is time to repair, it is time to rebuild, and it is time to revive. We have mourned long enough. We have stood wondering, scratching our heads, asking what we're going to do long enough. Friend, it is time for the Church of Jesus Christ. It is time for the sons and daughters of God. It is time for the people of God to stand up and do what God said we will do through the Spirit of God. Let's get busy. Let's get to work. Amen? Listen to me. And we can do that. And I just want to say this out there. I believe firmly with all of my heart that if we will prepare ourselves, if we will make ourselves ready, and if we will be intentional and do whatever we need to do, listen, I believe there is a revival waiting to be unleashed right now in these days. But and this is why I believe that. And I'm not just saying that to say it. I'm saying that because throughout history, when there have been times of great upheaval and great shaking culturally and in nations and in places in the world, when there have been times of war and times of shaking, historically, following those times have been the greatest times of revival in the kingdom of God ever. And I believe that we have come through and we are coming through such a season of shaking that there is a revival on the other side for those who will make themselves ready to receive it. Yeah. I want to be a part of that. Amen. God bless. I don't want to go through the hell of the last time, couple of years that we've went through, only to go back to normal and going back to everything we used to do that got us in the situation we were in. Come on, somebody. I want to see God's purpose served in every area of my life. Amen? Amen. And in every area of this church. There's a revival coming. Let's be ready. Here's how we can be ready. We need to recognize. I need to recognize that I am they. Turn to the neighbor again and say, they is we. There is no one else coming. There is nobody else we can go recruit. And God is not waiting for somebody else who's more qualified, more spiritual, who know, or whatever other qualifiers. Listen, they is we. There's a movie that came out a few years ago. Probably the best X-Men related superhero movie that's been made. The third in the Wolverine series called Logan. Now listen, this is not a kid's movie, so don't, you know, just whatever. Watch it on the edited version. It's pretty raw. But there's an unbelievable scene in this movie, Logan. I'm not going to go into all the story, but Logan, he's older in years. Very strong, all these superpowers, and he's trying to protect his mentor, Professor X. How many know what I'm talking about at all? Please raise your hand so I know I'm not just talking to dead air. Okay, I won't delve into many more explainers. But there's a scene where they're on the run. They're trying to get to where they're trying to get. They're running down the highway, and all of a sudden there's an accident happens, and this car truck flips over, and everything comes to a stop, and Logan is like, and Professor X is like, hey, man, Logan, go help those guys. And Logan's like, man, we got to go. We got guys on our tail. We got to get out of here. And there's this amazing exchange that happens. Logan looks back at Professor X and says, hey, listen, someone will come along. And Professor X looks at Logan and says, someone has come along. Someone has come along. Now, you don't have to travel very far outside your door to find people, to find things, to find situations that are full of brokenness, full of despair. You don't have to go very far outside of these doors. You don't have to go very far from your neighborhood to find things that have been destroyed, to find things that need repaired, to find things that need life brought to them. And this is what I want you to understand. When you walk out your door and you find something broken, God has just sent someone along. It was you. It was me. We are the they that God has sent into the middle of brokenness and despair. We are the they that God has sent to repair, to rebuild, to revive. There is no one else coming. There is nobody else on the back burner. Listen, we are the they that God has sent. They is we. Amen? And what I need to decide is this. This is the question I've got to answer. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. I'm almost done. I need to decide this. Am I going to keep breaking things? Am I going to be the type of person that brings more destruction, more despair, and can't get over my own personal opinions, can't get over my own personal beefs, can't get over my own whatever? Or am I going to be someone who decides, man, I'm going to be the they. I'm going to be a giver of life. I'm going to repair something broken instead of stepping on it and breaking it anymore. I'm not going to ignore the destruction laying waste around me. I'm going to step up and rebuild because I am they. They is we. Someone has come along. Amen? And whenever you see something, listen, here's what's going to happen. You're going to see something. And you're going to think, man, there's nothing I can do. There's no way I can help. I don't have the skills. I don't have the resources. And maybe you don't have the resources to do the whole thing or to do the exact thing. But man, there's got to be something. Here's what I got to remember. When I'm looking around or when I come across a situation and my eyes are open to it, and there's something in your heart saying, man, something needs to be done about this. Something's got to be done about this. Say something. Pray for God's sake. Do something. Listen, that is God knocking on your door saying, hey, you're they. Hey, you're they. Here's what you got to remember. Because you're instantly going to think, man, I can't do it. I can't keep track. I'm unqualified. I don't know enough of the Bible. I got my own issues. I got my own problems. I got my own. Listen. Here's what you need to remember. You need to come right back to Isaiah 61 and remember. Here's what it says. I'm just going to read this. When you come across... When you think, I can't be they because I'm unqualified, I can't be the they because I'm this and I'm that, here's what you need to come back to. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. Listen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Lord, I see this broken situation that I might be the only person that you've sent me here. I'm the they. Oh God, I can't do it. Oh God, I'm not. Whoa, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What's that mean? I'm anointed. What's that mean? You're empowered. What's it mean? We are the they. Am I going to keep breaking things? Am I going to keep sowing into the division? Am I going to keep getting so caught up in arguing my point? Regardless of how right I may be. It is so hard for me. It is so hard for me. Does anybody else struggle with this? It's hard for me to let an argument go. Mostly because I'm so sure that I'm right. And I know that I'm not all the time, but in the moment, I'm pretty sure that I am. And it's so difficult. But I'm learning, man, if I want to be a repairer, I want to be a rebuilder, if I want to be a life giver, sometimes I'm going to have to let my argument go. Sometimes I'm going to have to let you be wrong. So that I can do what God's called me to do. Amen? I want to be a life giver, man. Red Light, that's our prayer. That's our prayer for this season. Listen, here's the thing. How's this tied into the thing? Listen. The reason that it was shake the dust, and then because of this, I can't carry the dust of the last season into the rebuilding of the next. Amen? I can't repair, rebuild, and revive if I'm still carrying around the dust of what broke in my life in the last season. So God has spoken, and I believe what God is saying to us right now is that, yes, there is a repair. Yes, it is time to rebuild. Yes, it is time to revive, but we've got to shake the dust. We've got to keep the dust, and we got to keep shaking the dust off. Why? Because if I go into the next season of rebuilding and repairing and reviving, and I'm still holding on, and I'm still covered up in the dust of the stuff that's been broken in my life, it's going to be real hard. All I'm going to do is I'm just going to keep carrying that garbage into the thing I'm trying to, and this is going to be another mess. Amen? Shake the dust, and I've got to shake the dust because we are they, and we are called to repair, to rebuild, and to revive. Amen, somebody? Stand in Elvis' place. I told you I was almost done. Repair, rebuild, and revive, listen, starts with Jesus. It all starts with Jesus. Repair, rebuild, revive starts with Jesus. Now you might think, man, I've got so much brokenness in my life. I've got so many things that need fixed in my life. I got so many things that need to be revived and rebuilt and restored and repaired in my life. In fact, and you might even be right now thinking, you might be listening at home, watching at home right now, or in this room right now, and you might be thinking, man, that's cute. That's real cute, preacher. But you have no idea the destruction that's been levied against my life. You have no idea how broken some of my stuff is. You have no idea how in disrepair areas of my life are. And that may be very true, but I want you to understand something. That friend, Jesus, it's not by my ability. It's not. Jesus can rebuild everything that's been destroyed in your life. Amen? Jesus can destroy or rebuild everything that's been destroyed, repair what's been broken, and Jesus right now today wants to bring new life to yours. You might be in this place this morning, you just feel dead inside. You just feel dead inside, man. And I really feel like right now in this moment, I really feel like the Spirit of the Lord wants to tell somebody, man, if you feel dead inside, Jesus wants to bring life to you. Jesus wants to bring life to you, and he's available to do that today if you will reach out and call upon him. Amen? Well, how do you do that? How do I reach out to Jesus? How do I call upon Jesus? It's explained simply, even though it may be more complicated to practice and live out. But in the simplest nutshell, friend, we call out to Jesus by accepting his sacrifice on the cross and accepting what he did for us 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, God made flesh, walked this earth. And Jesus, living as a man, God in the flesh, lived the life that the law of God commands all of us to live. The law of God in the Old Testament, the Mosaic law, the law of God says that if we have committed one sin, we have broken them all. And if we are sinners, we are deserving of death. It's a little strict. But Jesus came on the earth and he fulfilled all the law. He never sinned. He never broke one of God's commandments. Not one. Jesus lived the life that we are all supposed to live. And then not only did Jesus live the life that we are all called to live, then Jesus took it one step further and died the death that we all deserve to die because we are all sinners. And then Jesus said, listen, I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for you. And the way that we can experience that and begin to have Jesus rebuild our broken lives, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit up here and try to sell you some nonsense. Listen, this is not a magic potion. This is not a magic formula. You can't pray one single prayer and poof, all of your stuff is going to be fixed. Friend, if you got a sink full of dirty dishes at home that you left there this morning when you came here, you're still going to have a sink full of dirty dishes when you get home today. That's just the way it works. But what you might find is you have a friend to help you begin to clean those dirty dishes. You have a grace that's helping you fix what's broken. You have an empowerment from heaven, from another world, helping you deal with one thing at a time. And that's all we can do. How do I call out to Jesus? I accept what he's given me and provided for me on the cross. And right now, I'm going to ask everyone in this room to bow their heads, close their eyes. Just as a way to make this personal. Just as a way to block out distractions and just give a moment for the Holy Spirit to speak individually to your life. Right now, if you don't know Jesus, you've never accepted his sacrifice on the cross, or man, maybe you did at one time, maybe you've even been baptized, maybe you've even gone to church. But for whatever reason, you know in your life, you're away from God, you are not living for God, you are not living surrendered to Jesus. Maybe you never have. Wherever you are right now, you can come back home, or you can come home for the very first time. And in just a moment, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. If you're online with us, you can respond. We can't see your hands raised, but we want to see you. So I encourage you, say something in the comments. Let us know that you're saying this prayer, making this declaration. And then when we pray, I'm going to lead us all in prayer in just a moment. And then when we're done today, I want to challenge you to go to redlifechurch.com. Right in the middle of the page is a big, you can't miss it. It says, did you say yes to Jesus? There's an explainer in there that explains some of the things that are about to happen in your life as you receive Jesus today. And I want to encourage you to do that. And there's a form you can fill out. And we just want to connect with you and be with you, man. And if you don't want to do that, listen, come find me right here today. If you're in the building, come find me. We'll talk. We'll pray together. We want to make sure you get started in this thing right or come home the right way. Right now, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody. I believe the Holy Spirit is talking to hearts today. If you're in this place, like, man, I need to come home to Jesus today. I need to call out to Jesus today. I want to receive. I want to accept what he's done for me in this moment. I don't know why I keep coming back to this, man. I just really feel like the Holy Spirit is somebody, man. You feel dead on the inside. There's no life, man. Maybe it's been something that's always been there. Maybe it's been something that the last couple of years of life has just kicked you around. And I want you to know something. The Spirit of God wants to breathe new life in you today. I really feel that for someone this morning. I can't get away from it. The Spirit of the Lord wants to breathe new life. He does not want you leaving this moment, walking out of this room. Still feeling that right now. You can be delivered from that. Friend, the answer is in Jesus, the giver of all life. Right now you say, man, I'm saying yes to Jesus today. I'm gonna accept what he's done for me on the cross. Will you just raise your hand right now all over this room? Amen. Amen. See a couple hands up. If you're at home, you can take a moment and respond there. I want everyone in this room to pray out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. Let's pray together. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now, forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Take over every part of my life, my past, my present, and and my future. I surrender it all to you in Jesus' name. Help me, Holy Spirit, to follow Jesus from this day on, all the days of my life. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, breathe life. Breathe life. Breathe life right now. Maybe that word, maybe you're a believer. You know you're on your way to heaven, but that word, that thing about feeling dead inside, maybe that's for you too. You know you're on your way to heaven, but man, you just feel dead inside. I'm believing right now the Holy Spirit is breathing life on people right now in Jesus' name. Lord, your word also says elsewhere in Isaiah, Lord, your word says that a smoldering wick you will not snuff out. It is not your desire to put our fire out. It is your desire to breathe fresh life on us, Lord. And I just right now, everyone that prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, but said yes to you, breathe life. Lord, every person, God, someone who feels that on the inside right now, who feels broken, who feels destroyed, who feels no life, Lord, I pray right now the Spirit of God bring fresh life, breathe fresh life into them, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you make us. Lord, you have already made us. We are the they. Now, Lord, I pray you help us to live that. Lord, help us, God, give us a determination right now that we will be the repairers, we will be the rebuilders, we will be the revivers in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen.